Welcome to the latest installment of the Sharp Angles Props and DFS Show. I'm your host, Todd Burrows, and my partner, Ryan McChrystal, makes his glorious return and rejoins us this week, and we will be going over his props, doing our best to ignore the dismal Thursday night football game, just joking, and we'll take you through some early DraftKings DFS thoughts. But before we dive into today's episode, we want to remind you that you can get all our fantasy content, including insights, props, worksheets, and more, by taking advantage of our fantasy packages available on the Sharp Football website. Right now, we're running a special offer for listeners, code ANGLES, for 15% off any fantasy package. The 15% discount also extends to every package on the site. Check it out in the podcast description or use the code ANGLES during checkout on the purchase page of the Sharp Football website. Also, if you could please subscribe and give the thumbs up on our YouTube channel and give us a nice review on wherever you listen to podcasts, we would greatly appreciate it. Ryan, welcome back.
Yeah, glad to be back. Sorry I missed last week, but at least it was a good week for my props last week.
Why don't you take us through that?
Yeah, we had a perfect week last week. Went 5-0 and 8-4 the week before that in our big Thanksgiving show. So we're pretty hot right now, 41-28 on the year. So it's shaping up to be a pretty good year for us as long as we can close it out these last few weeks.
Let's get to your props on the week. The first one is one of our returning champions, DeAndre Hopkins. Tell us what you're going to do with DeAndre.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins, longest reception over. This is available already at 21.5 yards, and I love it. That's a pretty low number considering how often he's been hitting the over. I've been sticking with this, and it looked like maybe I was being stubborn for a moment, but he has bounced back with a couple wins, and it's now 4-2 since Will Levis took over at quarterback. And Levis is the reason why we're playing this. Levis is throwing it 15 or more yards downfield on 31% of his attempts. That's the highest rate in the league. 21% of his attempts are 20 or more yards downfield. Also the highest rate in the league. And both of those are by pretty wide margins too. He's easily the most aggressive quarterback in the league right now. And he's not completing a huge percentage of those, but he's just throwing downfield at such a high rate. And Hopkins is obviously on the receiving end of most of those. And so, you know, with playing this longest reception prop as opposed to his, you know, yardage prop or whatnot, we only need one of those completions. If he's seeing multiple opportunities downfield every game, he's just got to haul in one of those. So it doesn't need to be a productive passing game to win this prop. And over the last 6 weeks, Hopkins has 23 targets at 15 or more yards downfield. That's 3.8 per game. Only CeeDee Lamb has seen more in that span. So if he's getting three or four opportunities, he's only got to come down with one of them. I like those odds a lot.
Yeah, no, I agree. And he also has the narrative of them fighting last week. You know, so if you're looking for even a little extra motivation, a lot of times the noisy wide receivers do seem to make a good play. You mentioned CeeDee Lamb, obviously one of the hottest players in the league, and you want his receptions over this week.
Yeah, I'll be on the over on his receptions at 5.5, or seven and a half. I'm on the over on that, and it's actually plus money, which I like too. He's hit the over in five of his last seven games on his receptions prop. And the only times he missed were again in really non-competitive games against Carolina and Washington. And in this matchup against the Eagles, obviously we expect this to be a pretty good game, potentially a shootout too, which would certainly bode well for him hitting the over. The last time these teams met, he had 11 catches on 16 targets. So a little bit of recent history here against this defense. And the Eagles defense is a factor in this also. They have not been quite as good as I think a lot of people expected this season. And also because their offense is very good, they force teams to play at a little bit of a faster pace, push the tempo on offense, which, you know, just leads to higher scoring games, leads to more completions. And in fact, they are allowing a league high 26 completions per game. So in this type of game where we think it's going to be high scoring, it's the highest total on the whole slate by a bit of a margin too, which is surprising. I think it's the only game that's over 50 points. I believe this is 51 right now. So it's going to be a higher scoring game, a little bit of a recent history here. And then also the Eagles specific defensive scheme is a factor here too, because they're one of the few teams that plays a pretty high rate of single high coverage, 63% rate outside the red zone. that means more one-on-one opportunities for CeeDee Lamb. Of course, the Cowboys want to get him the ball in those situations. So he sees a 31% target share against single high coverages compared to 23% against two high. So we got a lot of factors lining up in our favor in this game. So with this over at 7.5 and it being plus 22, I like this one a lot.
Yep. The next one is also a receptions over, and someone I'm going to mention in the DFS section, Zay Jones receptions over.
Yeah, I'll probably be on this one, although we haven't seen a line yet. I'd like, it was at 2.5 last week. I'll take it up to 3.5, although I am a little concerned. I believe it was he had 5 receptions last week, and the Christian Kirk injury is a factor here, which could lead to this getting bumped up. If it jumps to 4.5, I don't know, that's more of a gray area. I might stay away, but hopefully we get it at 3.5, and I'll definitely be on the over on his receptions if that's the case. And they're playing the Browns this week, and we've obviously brought them up a lot this year. They're one of these outlier defenses, which can give us an edge. Browns play a lot of man coverage, 45% of their snaps in man coverage. The league average is 24%. And obviously, offenses are going to attack man coverage differently than zone coverage, so we can find an edge here sometimes. And you know, when I was looking at the Jaguars, how they divvy up their targets, specifically when looking at the 6 games when Zay Jones has been active, he seems to be the big beneficiary against man coverage. He's seen a 23% target share against man coverage this season, only 13% against zone. And again, that's looking only at the games when he has been active. Now, I mentioned Christian Kirk is injured now. That's obviously a factor that works in our favor, but you know, it could also potentially work against us if it forces the line to get boosted a little bit. So that's my one concern. I don't know that I have enough confidence to bet him if it's at 4.5. That I would say not an official recommendation if it's there, but the lean would be over 3.5. I'm definitely going to be on the over though.
Yeah, I think 3.5 would be where I say, okay, enough. I'll look elsewhere if it's above that. Not that I'm Mr. Prop, but just my gut. You know, the sense you get as someone who plays a lot of fantasy football. And I think what will keep it down is the fact that we're going to have a lot of uncertainty as far as Trevor Lawrence actually playing. He returned to practice today, and I think that uncertainty could work in our favor. But even if the backup plays with Christian Kirk out, they're going to throw the ball. And Zay Jones is one of those guys who I never wanted to really have on my team. And then his last year in Oakland, he played much better. And so, you know, he's continued that. And sometimes it takes guys a while to figure things out. And Zay Jones is a pretty decent play. Our last one is another returning champion, but this is a under returning champion, Josh Jacobs. Where are you under on Josh this week?
Yeah, I'm going to be in the under on his receiving yards. It's available at 15.5. A couple of reasons for this. The main reason is it's another defense that we've been targeting. We've been following this trend with the Vikings defense of playing under on running back receiving yards. The under is 9-3 on the year for starting running backs receiving yards against Minnesota. And the primary reason here is Brian Flores' high blitz rate. They blitz almost 50% of the time, the highest rate in the league. And the blitz tends to limit running back involvement in the passing game. And when we look at the Raiders' pass distribution, that's definitely played out for them as well. Jacobs has seen a 16% target share on non-blitzes. It gets more than cut in half against the blitz. It drops down to 7%. So this trend, as far as how we see teams attacking Minnesota, likely holds for the Raiders here, and limiting Josh Jacobs' opportunities. The other factor here is that they've basically removed him from the passing game since the coaching change in 4 games, since Antonio Pierce took over as the head coach and Bo Hardigree took over as the offensive coordinator. He has 38 receiving yards in those 4 games. And quite a bit of that came last week. He's just really been a non-factor in the passing game. The under on his receiving yards has hit in each of those games since the coaching change. So we've got a little bit of a trend here as far as how their offense has been going in recent weeks. It's led to the line dropping in each of these weeks because obviously, you know, a four game stretch is when we start to see the lines adjust, and we are seeing that this week. But that trend, coupled with a matchup that tends to limit running back usage in the passing game, I think is still a good opportunity to take the under here.
All right, that's going to do it this week for the Ryan's props. I also just want to remind you again that if you want all the information on the Sharp Football website, you can get a 15% discount by using the code ANGLES. The 15% discount also extends to every package site-wide. Check it out in the podcast description, or again, just use the code ANGLES during checkout on the purchase page of the Sharp Football website.
All right, so Todd, let's jump over to the DFS discussion now, and we'll start with quarterbacks like always. And when I was looking at the quarterback list, it seems like we've got a pretty good mix of both high and low salaried guys for us to consider this week. So it gives us some options in terms of roster construction. So I know it's early in the week, but what are some of your early leans as far as how you'll attack this position?
Yeah, and it really has a lot to do with the overall slate. And we have an 11-game slate, Ryan, that provides us with only five teams. And you kind of pointed that out when you were talking about the game, the other game in your section that's not on the slate. But only five teams are implied to crack 22 points. And with only one team implied to top 25, that can open up a situation where chalk will end up settling on guys who really aren't much better than the guys who don't have ownership. So some of my initial thoughts at the position, Brock Purdy is at 6,500 and is looking like a 15% ownership. Wouldn't be shocked if that actually gets higher than that. Seattle, and I don't think that Seattle is going to push them in the same way. Jake Browning between 12 and 15% at 5,200 after a very solid week. And one of those two guys is very likely to be your cash game quarterback. And for tournaments, Ryan, I don't like to play the cash game guy. So whichever one seems to be getting more of the cash game, that tends to bleed over into tournaments because people will play their cash game lineup and they think, oh, well, he's such a good play, I'll be over on him. So those are two of the guys that I'm thinking of. You know, with Browning, people, I was surprised that Ja'Marr Chase isn't sitting on more ownership. A couple other guys, Justin Fields, you know, you think, oh, well, Justin Fields, but there's going to be weather in Chicago. Josh Dobbs, the other running quarterback, both of them are rating pretty well, but we haven't seen the kind of designed runs out of field as much as we had hoped. So I can't really feel great about that one. But Dobbs, to me, is very interesting if he stays at his current ownership. He hasn't looked good the last couple weeks, but coming off the bye, I think he is interesting to me. And the on the higher end, Josh Allen, you know, I think people are going to look at that game, look at Josh Allen's salary, and they're going to say, you know, the Kansas City defense isn't that good. But right now I'm not seeing a lot of ownership on Josh Allen. If that continues, I think this game has sneaky upside to the over whenever you have teams this talented and this competitive. So of the higher price guys, I'd rather play Josh Allen than Lamar Jackson, who the Ravens just haven't needed that. And I don't think they're going to need it this week. And then on the low end, it's always fun to play Jameis Winston to the over. You know, Captain Calamity at the quarterback position. You throw a pick six or two, and then you have to play from behind. I mean, it really is a tough week, Ryan, but, you know, those are my early thoughts at the quarterback position. Your thoughts on my thoughts?
Yeah, I like your thoughts on Josh Allen. That makes sense to me with this really being a must-win game for them. And you think when their backs are basically against the wall, it's a great time to start using him more in the run game, which it has been trending that direction overall relative to where he, when he just was almost a non-factor in the run game early in the season. But this would be a great opportunity to use him in the run game, because that's sort of like the one thing in your offense you can always rely on for him to be effective. And that could certainly boost his fantasy production if he has a good game on the ground. You briefly mentioned Justin Fields, and I just wanted to point out some stuff that I was looking into on him. He's obviously, this is one of the games where the weather is going to be a factor in Chicago between the Lions and the Bears. And so with the high winds in that game, that could certainly have a factor in their passing production. And it does seem to have an impact on Fields in the past. When the wind is over 15 miles per hour, which is expected to be on Sunday, he throws 10 or more yards downfield only 49% of the time, compared to 59% of the time when the wind is lower than that. So it's going to affect their aggressiveness in the passing game most likely. But the flip side to that is when there are higher winds, he seems to run more. That seems to be where they pivot the offense to. He has 11.2 rush attempts per game in those high wind games, compared to 8.4 in the other games. So it's sort of, there's a little bit of a give and take here where you could almost make an argument one way or the other. But if you want to sort of swing for the upside, you know, his best games are going to come when he's extremely productive on the ground. So there's reason to think that this could potentially be one of those games. So I think that even though normally you want to shy away from quarterbacks in these weather games, this might be a situation where you actually want Fields in the weather if it increases his run game usage. So, you know, like I said, you can make an argument both ways, but I think that was worth pointing out those differences in how he's played in weather.
I made a mention in the show sheet, but I didn't mention it in my thing. I remember there was a game just like this last year, and like one of the first plays of the game, Fields ran for like 70-yard touchdown. So I'm with you. I just wish there wasn't as much ownership on him. But, you know, 11% is still certainly playable.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So let's jump over to running backs now. We've got a couple guys emerging as really heavy chalk early on. How are you going to navigate the running position, do you think?
I mean, I was shocked when I saw Zach Moss, whose salary went up from 4,600 to 5,900, somehow is showing with heavy ownership early. I find that one a little hard to believe. You know, we've talked about how we get these early ownership numbers, and a lot of times they can change a lot. I'd be shocked if he stays that high. I would have almost no interest in him at 5,900 with 40% ownership. The other guy who's really showing a lot of ownership is Christian McCaffrey at 25%. That's another one I have trouble finding him at that ownership, because unless some value opens up on this slate, there really isn't a lot of value. So is that the one stud you're going to want to play? If you can get him under 20%, I like Christian McCaffrey. Obviously, he's a guy who can break the slate on any given week. Other guys pushing 20% are Charbonnet, but right now he's got some injury concerns. And Bijan Robinson, which I get. You know, another guy who's around 10% is Kyren Williams, but he's up to 7,300. Javonte Williams, 20% versus the Chargers. I mean, all those are, you know, on a different slate. I'd be, you know, that's kind of what I mean when I say the chalk ends up on guys who really aren't in much better situations. One guy I'm very interested in, if the early ownership holds, is Keaton Mitchell. He got a lot more usage in the last game. He's at 4,900. I find it very hard to believe he's going to stay at his current very low ownership. But if he does, I will be way over. I like David Montgomery in a game where you've got the revenge narrative and you've got, you know, slippery fields. A lot of times you see running backs just get these big runs because a defender slips. And once you get through the whole 6,500 low ownership, David Montgomery in a revenge game is very interesting to me. And James Cook is a tough one, 6K, but very low ownership. He has been doing pretty well lately. So those are some guys that caught my attention for good and bad at the running back position, Ryan.
Yeah, a couple thoughts on some of the guys you mentioned. First, Zach Moss. I mean, I kind of understand liking him because the Bengals' run defense has just been bad all year. They ranked 26th in yards before contact allowed and 25th in yards after contact allowed. So that's a pretty brutal combination for the Bengals' defense. And they're giving up 10 or more yards on 13% of attempts, fourth worst. And there's just there's a long list of stats you could throw out and how bad the Bengals' run defense has been. But you know, I'm also with you as far as the logic is, if his roster share is that high, is Zach Moss really the type of guy you really want to get behind at such a high percentage of your rosters? That does seem risky. So I can see going both ways. So it's probably a situation where you, like you said, monitor what that roster share actually is going to be as you get closer to game day. And, you know, maybe you make a bold play one way or the other, because you could certainly argue liking him, but also it might be worth fading him if the roster share is that high. Kyren Williams, you mentioned, he's one that kind of makes me nervous because this is bad weather in Baltimore. So it's certainly a game where you would think he's going to have a high usage. But the flip side to that is if the Ravens defense knows that your passing attack is really limited by the bad weather, because that could be wind and rain in Baltimore this week. So if that's limiting the passing game, I got to think the Ravens defense is going to be up for the challenge of stopping Kyren Williams when they know the run is coming at a high rate. So that one makes me a little bit nervous. Maybe if it gets closer to the game day and we find out that rain isn't necessarily a factor, that could potentially make me feel better about playing him if we're not as concerned about the passing game. But if that looks like really bad weather there, I might stay away from him. And then David Montgomery, you mentioned, I mean, he just seems like the way that they use him in that offense is perfect for a bad weather game. So that could be really high usage. But I also mentioned Jahmyr Gibbs too. If they're limited in how they're going to be able to throw downfield in high wind, pivoting to more of Jahmyr Gibbs in the passing game, you know, the short passing game is going to play a bigger role because they're not going to stay away from the passing game entirely. The weather's not going to be that bad. It might just limit their willingness to throw downfield. So some of the other guys in the offense, like Gibbs, it's see more short yardage passing attack in the short yardage passing game. Could be an opportunity for him to see a little bit increased usage there. So it may actually be a game where both of them have a little bit of added value.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned 15-mile-an-hour winds. Typically, those don't bother me. You know, once you get up to about 20, 25, that's when the numbers that I've seen really start taking an effect. Now, Justin Fields hasn't been allowed to throw downfield that much to begin with. But if it's 15 miles an hour, Jared Goff, you know, the thing is the thing with Jared Goff is, you know, we talk about his small hands. So, bad weather, Jared Goff isn't the guy that I'll want to play. But it's going to be interesting. So we've got a question in the chat, Ryan, from Justin. He just joined. He asked if we would mind recapping any prop leans that we had for tonight. Ryan had over on Najee Harris's rushing yards, right?
Yep.
And I had over on Mitchell Trubisky's rushing yards. Thank you for the question, Justin. We appreciate you joining in. Any other questions anyone has, please feel free to throw it in. We love it to interact with you guys.
Yeah, for sure. I always like the questions. Let's move over to wide receivers now. Obviously, weather is going to be a big factor at this position as well, maybe even more so than running back. So what are some of your early thoughts here?
Well, you know, again, there isn't a lot of really high ownership here. Keenan Allen at 20%, Garrett Wilson at 15-20. I mean, that's not a lot of ownership for wide receivers. I liked DJ Moore, in a vacuum, and I liked ARSB in a vacuum. I thought they'd make a good mini stack, but the weather, you know, is an issue there. Jamar Chase is not showing a lot of ownership. And, you know, if that's like I played him last week, the week before, obviously he wasn't on the main slate last week. But at 8%, Jamar Chase is interesting to me. Drake London has 20% ownership. I love him at 4,600. At 20% ownership, I would rather play more Josh Downs, because Josh Downs is only 4,900 and has a few, about half the ownership. As far as the really low price guys, there's a bunch of them like JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba, that is, Bateman or Mingo, all are showing ownership in the 20s. Meanwhile, Jameson Williams, who I mentioned last week, 3,600, I think he is now. He's starting to be more involved in the offense. Again, the weather. I'll still play Jameson Williams because he's a big play waiting to happen if he's going to be 1% to 2%. And a couple cheap guys whose names I will throw out there. Cedric Tillman of the Browns. Khalil Shakir, I really like if he's going to stay late, low owned. And I got Zay Jones, Ryan, as I kind of alluded to. I think if he's going to be low owned and under 4,000, he's of interest to me.
Yeah, this is really tough because with the weather being a factor and just really bad matchups, like we talked about off the top, you know, some of these games have such low totals. So if you're going dumpster diving for some of these cheap salary guys, man, even the ceiling just looks bad. So this is a tough position to attack. One thing, I really don't have any like strong players that I really love, but one thing I did want to mention with Jameson Williams, since you brought him up, was he feels like one of the guys that could really be hurt by the weather. If the high winds are going to affect the Lions' willingness to throw downfield, he's going to suffer. He sees 38% of his attempts at 15 or more yards downfield. That's a very high rate for any receiver. Yep. And so if you take that away from him, you know, he's the type of athlete that could certainly still catch a shorter one and break off a long run. But given how he's used in the offense, it seems like he'll likely see a little bit fewer opportunities in this game, I would think. So that one just makes me a little bit nervous in the weather.
Before we move on to tight end, Ryan, since Justin asked about your prop on Thursday, why don't you just, for everyone out there, give your a quick recap of your props for the main week?
Yeah, sure. Quick recap of the four props that I've got for Sunday and Monday, I guess. DeAndre Hopkins over on his longest receptions at 21.5 yards. That's a prop that we keep going back to for a number of weeks in a row now. Zay Jones probably going to be on the over on his reception. There's no line yet, but I'll take it at 3.5 receptions or lower. Then we've got Josh Jacobs, the under on his receiving yards at 15.5 yards, mostly playing this based off the Vikings defense. Their high blitz rate really suppresses running back usage in the passing game. And then we've got CeeDee Lamb playing the over at 7.5 receptions for him. He's hit this over in 5 of his last 7 games. Really good matchup against an Eagles defense that should, their coverage scheme should benefit him. So those are my props for the week.
Awesome. All right. So I'll just jump into my tight end thoughts. You know, it's really interesting that you're not seeing a lot of ownership anywhere at tight end right now. Kyle Pitts at 15% and Tyler Conklin at 15%. I mean, Ryan, am I missing something with either one of them? Is there some great matchup? I haven't gone my deep dive yet, but you're so locked in on these things. Is there any reason to fight ownership with either one of those guys?
None that I can come up with. I mean, we've talked about it a few times. You know, my take on tight ends this year is basically that with the lower scoring around the league, going for these lower tight ends where you're basically touchdown or bust with them, it's not a great strategy, I don't think. It obviously could pay off for you in any given week, but with touchdowns just at a premium, the odds of one of these guys on a pretty low salary or hitting are just not great.
Especially with Zach Wilson at quarterback. Yeah. Right now, David Njoku rates the best. I do like him. You know, I'm not afraid of the 12% ownership. But my favorite play of the week right now, he's at 3% and it ties into what you said. Now, again, there's not a lot of value this week. So, you know, one of the positions where you really try and save money historically on weeks like this on DraftKings is tight end. But TJ Hockenson at $6,000. I mean, I like him with Josh Dobbs. I like him without Josh Dobbs. Dalton Kincaid is another guy on my list. 5,500, but 1% ownership. I know Dawson Knox might be back. Evan Ingram, another kind of not a cheap guy. Right now, 4,800 and 2% ownership. I would be interested with Christian Kirk out. You know, Kirk plays a lot in the slot. You know, Ingram plays in the slot too. So to me, that's a natural opportunity. And we might that's the one where we might look back a week from now and say, why didn't we think to play more Evan Ingram? He was chalky 25-30% a few weeks ago for a couple weeks at this salary. Now you've got even more reason. Another guy I want to mention is a guy I have a ton of in best ball, but he's showing 11% ownership at 3,500. So Isaiah Likely is a guy that is a little tough for me there if he's going to have ownership, especially with weather. And I mentioned him last week, Ryan, while you were out. He was at 5,200 last week. He's at 5,400. He's not going to have any ownership. Taysom Hill is a guy that with Jameis at quarterback, we might see even more Taysom Hill. It's another pay up to be contrarian play that it's funny that I hadn't thought of your comment about the low end tight ends, but in going through everyone I liked this week was the higher price ones pretty much.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. And we're seeing totals in the 30s all across the league. The tight ends, the opportunity for one of these low price tight ends to score is not great. Just wanted to mention a couple things on some of the guys you mentioned. You mentioned Isaiah Likely. The weather in Baltimore scares me the most out of all the games this week. I just looked it up and it's so a 95% chance of rain with 22 mile per hour winds. If that's actually what we get on Sunday, that's the type of weather that absolutely does have an impact on play calling and production. You know, sometimes the weather can be overstated, but that rain and wind combination is going to have an impact, and that's going to hurt all of the pass catchers.
So you're saying he's Isaiah Unlikely this week?
Isaiah Unlikely, yeah. If obviously monitor the situation as we get closer to it. If you know if it's not going to rain, maybe they can survive with the wind. Obviously, Lamar Jackson is the type of quarterback who can throw in higher winds than some of the other guys. But that's if it's raining in 22 mile an hour winds, that's going to hurt everybody in the passing game in Baltimore. Evan Ingram, another one that you mentioned that you liked. The only issue I have with that is the Browns coverage scheme. They play a high rate of single high coverage, the highest rate of single high coverage in the league, almost 75%. That tends to limit all tight ends because it takes away the middle of the field more often. So that's not necessarily a great matchup for him, especially with that being a low total game as well. I think that's only at 32.5 for the total in that one. So a low scoring game and not a great coverage scheme for him. One other guy I wanted to mention that you didn't bring up is Cole Kmet. You know, we talked about how that game is another potential weather game where they're not going to be throwing downfield as often, but that could actually benefit some of these tight ends since they're, you know, a lot of these tight ends are more involved in the short passing game. I think Kmet is one of those guys. He actually leads the Bears in receptions on throws of 10 or fewer yards. So he potentially gets a little bit of a boost this week if their passing game is a little bit limited by the weather.
I love it. And that is the last thought. What's funny is when I saw the weather, I had written up Cole Kmet as one of my favorite plays of the week at 4,600. And then I saw the weather and I backed off. So perhaps I shouldn't have. And Ryan, it was a great pleasure. As always, I'm so stoked at how just amazing your last couple weeks have been. You've just been killing it. And again, folks, if you want to get all of Ryan's stuff, all of the Sharp Angles articles, worksheets, podcasts, you can get a 15% discount by using the code ANGLES. That's going to do it for this week. Ryan, I look forward to seeing you next week where we will reconvene, hopefully, after another successful week in the NFL.